This is an Equity Bates Media podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Talk money to me.
Hello and welcome to Talk Money To Me, your need-to-know financial podcast. I'm Candice Burke.
And I'm Felicity Thomas. If you're new to our show, thank you so much for tuning in. Now, Talk Money To Me is a podcast in which we chat about the markets, current factors that are influencing the markets, various financial strategies, and we also hear from experts in our industry, as well as bring you some investable ideas.
And that's exactly what we're doing in today's episode, which is our favourite episode, and we hear it is also yours, the Order Pad.
Order up!
So the Order Pad is all about bringing stock investable ideas to consider, whether we're buying this as a new position, we're topping up, adding more, holding, that's not really fun to do, and then selling. Now, before we dive into the markets, please remember our chat today is not considered personal advice, even though we are registered financial advisors at Shaw & Partners. As always, this podcast and the content discussed does not constitute as financial advice, nor is it a financial product. And more importantly, the podcast is general in nature and you should always go out and seek your own professional advice before you make your investment decisions. We're recording on the 26th of March, so all the facts are known at the time of recording. Alrighty, disclaimer done. So Felicity, as we love to do, before we get into the order pad ideas for this week, let's kick things off with market sentiment first. What are the bulls saying?
Yeah, so bullish market sentiment this week. I mean, the dovish Fed takeaways has really been there's been an unchanged 2024 dot, no change in view on broader disinflation trend despite hotter data, so that's good, has actually underpinned expectations for a June rate cut. So I think that was kind of up in the air. So it's kind of good that that's still on track, fingers crossed. There's also been more traction behind the AI secular growth theme following NVIDIA, GTC and the Broadcom event, Micron earnings and Google Apple headlines. So again, that's really good. Again, there's more AI tailwinds. Now, some people are saying it's potentially crowded, that it's stretched, but the momentum is there and it's really outperformed again. While breadth improvement has actually highlighted some cyclical value rotation underpinned by resilient macro, there's been declining bond volatility. So the MOVE index closed at its lowest levels in 2 years following the Fed. So that's another positive signal for risk assets. So there's no tail risk trigger surrounding the BOJ NIRP/YCC exit, which was widely telegraphed and partly offset by dovish guidance. There's positive housing market takeaways from existing sales of homes, and the NAHB builder sentiment is the highest since July and actually back above break-even levels. Disinflation traction in data with the Philly Fed manufacturing prices that paid the lowest since May 2020. FedEx and earnings stand out on very, very strong cost control. And also, this week saw really good debuts for IPOs, Reddit, Asteria Labs, and there's been more department store privatization, so Macy's and Nordstrom.
Yeah, on the IPO point, you know, Reddit had a nice listing, double digits, our first day kind of pop there. But on the other side of the camp, the bears are still very loud at the moment. So I guess the pivotal points for them for this week in the markets is the hawkish revisions to 2025 to the 2026 dot plots. So while the long run rate projection moved up amid renewed chatter about upward structural pressure on the neutral rate, we did start the year, if we think about it though, from a holistic point of view, with the thought of 6 cuts in the sights for the US Fed, but the latest opinion is more like 2 or 3 at most. So very different view there. big tech, also antitrust scrutiny. You mentioned Apple with the AI rollout, but obviously the Department of Justice is suing Apple for smartphone monopolization and attempted monopolization. So go capitalism. Let's see how that plays out. That'll be long and nasty, right? But at the end of the day, regulation will always come. There's bumpy disinflation. That's a trend in the US flash PMIs data. It saw the fastest increase in input costs in the last 6 months, selling prices since around last April. There's also consumer cautionary headlines around this market at the moment, with in particular highlights of Lululemon. They really softened their approach to their outlook in the US consumer. Nike, you know, the report was a bit weird, but the first half year revenue was actually down, and the Financial Times are reporting that consumers are pulling back on spending, with their excess savings now pretty much depleted and prices are still elevated thanks to sticky inflation. There's another batch of largely underwhelming February earnings and guidance takeaways and negative price reactions. So let's see what the next earnings season in the US does actually, you know, kind of highlight for how the economy is going in the US in particular, because we all follow it. But over in Asia, the Bank of Japan raised rates for the first time in 17 years. And the BSA research and SoGen research noted that prior to the BOJ tightening moves, this provided good global recession signals. There's also cautionary sell side commentary highlighting expectations for big tech earnings, momentum deceleration. There's a lot of talk around we need a bit of a pullback in the market, particularly with the NASDAQ, along with the start of corporate buyout blackout period. Also, Boeing scrutiny, if you're following the headlines there, that was weaker FCF guidance out of the sell side conference. The stock rallied overnight as shareholders finally got what they were asking for, which is a total leadership shakeup in the wake of their safety crisis, and the CEO stepped down. Never great when you step away and the stock rallies. But finally, I guess for me, Felicity, you know, I don't call myself a bull or bear. We're just trying our best to interpret the market data to guide clients, right? But what is a little bit of a concern to me is that the deficit concerns in the headlines in the US are making headlines again. Congressional budget update, which I'll summarize, they basically said if they look for this year out to 2054, so it's a long period, and I'll quote, if the current laws governing taxes and spending generally remained unchanged, the federal budget deficit would increase significantly in relation to gross domestic product over the next 30 years. This increase stems from higher and rising interest costs and largely, obviously, from the deficit. And summarizing here, what they're saying is the growing debt would be significant economic and financial consequences for the US. So again, the US budget and government is really capturing market headlines. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out with the next earnings season. Obviously, we've got US election. I think Trump's latest go at the court is sometime in April, so it's all happening in the US.
Absolutely. I mean, but you would be silly over the long term to really bet against the US, wouldn't you? I mean, people who have done that over the last 50 years hasn't worked out too well for them in regards to the share market.
I think if you look at, you know, as we spoke about a few previous episodes, you know, certain indexes like the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ over time definitely do provide killer returns for investors. But so bulls and bears aside, let's now move to the order pad. So Felicity, what are you bringing to this week's order pad? Order up!
So I mentioned earlier in the bullish sentiment points that there've been some recent IPOs that have had really strong debuts. So I kind of wanted to talk about a company that's not yet listed on the ASX, but will be around the 29th of April if everything goes to plan. Now, the IPO offer price for this particular company is $1.56 per share, and the total proceeds of the offer has been $59 million. Now, I actually heard from this company mid last year and was really interested when hearing from the founders. I'm sure, CB, you can guess what it is, or if you've read the AFR recently, you may have an idea.
I definitely do, because fact check, listeners, I sat next to Felicity in the same meeting. It is a really exciting IPO, and hopefully it means the IPO market's coming back on slowly here in Australia.
Yeah, hopefully. That would be great. Roar back to life. So the company is called Tasmea Limited. The code will be TEA on the ASX unless that changes. So double check closer to listing because it does sometimes change. The indicative market cap at completion will be around $340 million. So it's a small cap because it's under $500 million in my opinion. But it's a very blue chip small cap, and I'll tell you why. So this company is an Australian leader in specialist mining and infrastructure assets, focused on essential asset shutdowns, repairs, maintenance, and upgrades. Now it splits into four different business segments. You've got electrical, which is 36% of the FY23 annual revenue. You've got mechanical, which is 32% of the FY23 annual revenue. You've got civil, which is 12% of FY23 annual revenue. And water and fluid, which is 20% of FY23 annual revenue. So it's actually quite evenly split. The company has grown revenue and EBIT by 20% CAGR from FY21 to 24, with the growth predominantly driven by demand for maintenance services across its target industries, further market penetration, improvements in operating efficiency, and bolt-on acquisitions. Now, Tasmea is a significant business. It's no small fry. It's got over 1,400 flexible trade skilled employees, over 15 offices and workshops nationwide. They're delivering work throughout premier mining, oil, gas, and industrial regions. Very maintenance focused and remote area specialist trade services, providing over 4,000 plus days without a lost time injury as well. Very diversified blue chip customer base. This is important across six key industries. So keep this in mind. You've got mining and resources, oil and gas, defense and infrastructure, which I love, power and renewable energy, also another tick, telecommunications and retail, as well as water and waste.
Yeah, some of their customers have been with them for multi-decades, like BHP and Rio. And what I, you know, or to your point as well, I love the quality that the managers summed up their business. You know, they coined themselves similar to a specialty heart surgeon. You don't ask questions around, you know, how much is it going to cost? And I just, when are you available? And how good are you? And that's exactly what their customers are saying. You know, BHP are loyal to them and Rio is loyal to them because of their mining services contracts. A very sticky contractual business. They're essentially servicing every major Australian state and territory and blue chip customers that you would be really familiar. So they've got diverse solutions and diverse customers across all of Australia, which is awesome.
Yeah, and I also really like they've got a large addressable market of over $21 billion and a serviceable available market of over $8 billion with strong market fundamentals really to support its growth trajectory. Now, they have a very strong track record of actually acquiring businesses and scaling up revenue growth post-acquisition, which is important. I'll quickly list a few stats for you. So the organic revenue weighted CAGR since acquisition for each segment has been, if we'll go down the same list, electrical 28%, mechanical 39%, civil 22%, water and fluid 14%. So the average there is around 29%. If we look at more of the financial data and why it's a good buy and why it's in our water pad, Tasmea is forecast to generate $434 million of revenue and $54 million in EBIT in FY24. The acquired revenue as of FY24 is $177 million. Organic revenue growth as of FY24 is $258 million. And I know I mentioned it'll be a small cap, but it's a small cap with a nice dividend policy. So between 30 to 50% is the payout of earnings, and they're currently paying at the lower end, but really plan to increase this over time. The earnings per share growth of 15 cents for FY24. So it's going to be around 2.9% forecast dividend yield on the offer price. And if you're invested in the IPO, you'll actually get a 2.5 cent fully franked dividend, which we paid on the 7th of June for investors, which is really exciting. And it's nice that they're entitled to that.
Yeah, love a good dividend. And if you look at their EPS growth, you know, I remember reading the number thinking that's basically 10%, which is fantastic for FY24.
Yeah, and we certainly love a dividend. Candice, you always go on about loving dividends. And I think it's always great when you're buying one of these potential small cap dividend paying companies, you set potentially a regular investment plan so that you acquire more shares over time. That's what I'll be doing because I've also personally invested in this one. So to really summarize, the key investment highlights for me is tick. Blue chip customer base supporting specialist high margin business. So Tasmea customers are blue chip, which we've mentioned, and they're owners of essential fixed assets. They're heavily reliant on specialist trade services where plant uptime is more important than maintenance costs, hence commanding industry leading margins. My other tick, it's got a focus on specialist maintenance segments of the mining services market. So fixed plant maintenance specialists operating in remote areas, high reoccurring revenue, so 93%, supported by over 40 master service agreements. The projected increased demand for resources, so your iron ore, copper, gold, water infrastructure, etc., is produced by Tasmea's customers, an aging plant of mining resource customer base. Tasmea also undertakes scheduled rate of works to support assets and infrastructure owners. Now, the sector usually operates on a 12-month to 3-year MSA contract, so that's your master service agreement, and Tasmea's average MSA contract is 5 years. So what this means is their revenue is very predictable, transparent, and about 70% of revenue is known in the financial year ahead, given the MSA contracts in place. So Candice mentioned earlier one of their blue chip customers is Rio. And so Rio has actually been with them for over 15 years so far.
Yeah, exactly. And they just basically are, as the managing director said and the senior team said, like, we are really important to Rio's day-to-day business. They cannot afford to mess up their MSA contract. So that's why it's just been a reoccurring revenue. And that attests to a lot of the other customers as well in different sectors.
Absolutely. And look, I was super impressed with the managing directors and the executive team. They also gave us examples where they lost contracts, which they were, you know, a little bit disappointed for because they weren't going to drop their prices. However, these customers that did leave them ended up actually coming back. So that is a true testament to their offering. There's also, I think, really important to mention when you're looking at an investment on the ASX is a high return of equity and the company is cash generating. So the ROE is 49% for FY24 and the return on capital employed is actually 35% for FY24, delivered by the service-based business. Also high cash conversion rate. So the average is 105% OCF to EBIT cash conversion over the last 4 years. They've got a clear program to grow organically and by acquisition. So organic growth is really important, leveraging existing customer base and focusing on revenue synergies, as well as their accelerated growth supported by their disciplined programmatic acquisitions. Another thing that's really important when you're looking at a company to invest in is the incentivized management team. So the founders are retaining significant stake and are not intending to participate in the sell down at all for the IPO. The management team is also aligned with growth targets through an LTI plan to deliver projected 110 mil EBIT by FY27. Tasmea also delivers specialist and not generalist skill trade-based services. I think that's really important to kind of hone in on. So the specialist services to remote locations, targeting regional areas and essential asset owners, generating high recurring revenue growth. And I think before we finish on this point and why it's a good investment, I just want to hone in why potentially investing in this IPO is quite exciting for us. So important to highlight. The founders are fully escrowed for 18 months and they're not selling down in the listing, like I said. Management highly aligned via the incentives to double EBIT. Existing shareholders will hold approximately 83% of shares on completion. Executive management are expected to hold around 60% of shares on completion of the IPO. That is a lot of skin in the game here.
Very much so. I loved that summary. And look, like, as a final closing statement, I guess what we would say is, look, IPOs, they do come with a level of risk, But in this particular case, we do believe it's fairly priced. If you look at the comps like SRG, which we have coverage here at Shaw & Partners, that's trading at like 9 times as an example. And this has been priced at 6.7 times multiple to be exact on an EV pro forma forecast FY24 EBIT basis. Also, the offer price in terms of the $1.56 is based at 10 times per share on a FY24 NPAT. And on an EV pro forma forecast FY24 EBITDA ratio, it's 5.4 times. So very fairly priced, we would say, to do well in the market, hopefully aftermarket as well. So one to watch.
Yeah, definitely one to watch. And like I said earlier, I'm personally invested and so are some of our clients. In a moment, we're going to hear CB's stock for the order pad. But first, let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And we are back. So I pitched Tasmea. What are you liking at the moment, Candace, for the order pad?
Order up!
So for me, I'm liking at the moment a company that's going to benefit from the AI revolution and rollout, and it's also embedded very much so in the electrification and decarbonization themes. This company, which you may not have heard of, it's come across my radar recently, but I do encourage you to do your own reading and how you like to do your research. As I said, I've just found this company as of a week ago because the management team came in to present their business model. Full disclosure, Shaw & Partners do not cover this stock, but there is some broker research out there. The company I'm talking about is Southern Cross Electrical Engineering, the code on the ASX being SXE. I would class it as like a small to, you know, growing mid cap, very much so, because the market cap is just shy of $300 million, which is sitting at around $267 million at the moment. Now, before I deep dive into the company and talk about what they do and the growth play here that I'm seeing, I want to quickly set the scene on the thematic that I have in mind for this investable idea.
All right, great. Set the scene. Let's go.
So in today's society, obviously the importance of digital aid and data centers is a growing trend because it's playing a critical role in shaping the way that business operates and thrive. These facilities, we're finding more and more, are the backbone of the digital ecosystem, serving as a foundation for storing, processing, and, you know, transmitting vast amounts of data globally. As businesses increasingly rely, as we know, on data to make informed decisions and enhance their operations, investing in data centers have become, in my view, another kind of bull run we can jump on as investors because there's significant long-term benefits. So data centers overall, what they offer is scalability and flexibility for the mega cap businesses like Microsoft, Amazon, and Google, as it enables these businesses to adapt to the ever-changing market conditions and scale up when needed. So essentially, data centers are allowing for easy expansion, customization, more cost-effective solutions for businesses to grow digital infrastructure without having their own upfront costs. They're outsourcing that, right? And also it enhances data security and compliance because data centers have two critical concerns for businesses that they operate in today's environment, which is equipped with all state-of-the-art security measures such as access controls, encryption, firewalls, the list goes on. So data centers are inherently striving for really high cybersecurity regulation standards and industry best, and that's what's going to attract big customers like Amazon to use certain data centers for sure.
What about from an economic standpoint?
Yeah, so to that point, when we think about investing in data centers, it does offer a high return on investment. And overall, this is enhanced because of the competitiveness of the business. So the global data center market is expected to grow at a compound annual growth rate of 9.6% during 2023 out to 2030. So big money to be made here. Data centers are really electrically dense and a lot of electrical work is used, obviously is the largest component for the construction costs. So the investment play here is finding the company which will not only supply obviously the data centers and the infrastructure they need, but also the maintenance, so kind of your Tasmea thematic there, the maintenance of electrical services company that offer all solutions for cloud computing, AI tech businesses, they're going to win the most.
Yeah, so a different play on your blue chip, really. So what does SXE actually do and how do they make money?
SXE is a leading national electrical instrumentation, communications and maintenance service group. It's been around for a while, established back in 1978 in Perth, and it did list on our Aussie Stock Exchange in 2007. Their customers have been frequently quoting them as their trusted national provider of specialised electrical, instrumental, maintenance and communication services. They're diversified across all their operations with three broad market sectors, which are infrastructure, commercial and resources. And about 80% of their order book is based on the East Coast, which to your question, this is really how they make money. They're diversified and they stick to their knitting. They've also announced 13 data center awards, totaling $120 million of revenue in the last 4 years. They've also been organic, but also smart and acquired growth through different businesses. Datatel in 2026, Heyday in 2027, and more recently in 2020, they acquired Travanti Group, which actually includes three businesses, Estray Electrical, SEME Solutions, and Travantage Manufacturing.
That's interesting. So kind of, again, similar to Tasmea in their, you know, their acquisition strategy. I like it. I like it.
And you're going to love this next point, which made me really, you know, focus on the company more for our clients. They have two strong blue chip customers, Microsoft, NextDC, Rio Tinto, BHP, Coles, Sydney Western Airport, to name a few. With those strong blue chip companies that they have on their books, they're all reoccurring revenue and earnings growth customers. They're profitable today, this business. They also pay a dividend, which is an implied 7.5% dividend yield for FY23.
A profitable and growing business. Who doesn't like the sound of that? And so more importantly, looking at their fundamentals, what is kind of worth highlighting to really get this idea across the line for the Autopad?
Well, if I haven't got you yet, hopefully if you're a value kind of fundamental investor like me, these next points, which I'll summarise the highlights, will get you across the line. So over the last 7 years, management have materially grown revenue from $200 million in FY17 to $465 million in FY23. The business has a five-year average CAGR EBITDA run rate of 16.5% and 21.3% EBIT run rate. The business is profitable, like I said today, and paying a really nice yield with an ROA sitting at 5% and an ROE at 9%. They're also growing their business, like I said, both organically. I love that term in the finance term. It's like no animal was harmed. Yeah, this is all pamphlets. But they're doing it organically and also via M&A, and they have an EPS growth rate of 14% based on a five-year average CAGR. Gross margins, solid here, growing also. Average annualized rate of 7.5%. No debt, music to my ears in this high interest rate environment. They've also got plenty of cash on the balance sheet, which makes over $65 million. So they're always looking out for new strategic acquisitions. And I like that as well.
Yeah, and I love the dividend yield, especially if you're into growing your portfolio through dividend reinvestment, like we said earlier. I think that's really important to point out.
Yeah, definitely.
So clearly SXE have both organic and acquired growth. Heard that many times. What element plays a leading factor to their growth plan?
I'm going to say both. So I'll break down the organic growth opportunity first and the addressable market. So Australia, much like most of the world, is undergoing a total energy transition to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. Reduction, we know, in fossil fuel consumption will require high degree of electrification in road transport and industrial sectors alone, right? Electrification is also expected to occur across a range of applications in multi-industries like mining and manufacturing, as well as gas and the use of buildings. The business will capture demand, this increased demand, through their exposed products and their maintenance style works, with reoccurring revenues now over 40% in this activity alone. They're also currently working on, you know, rolling out more data centers of a hyperscale cloud provider in North Sydney, another hyperscale cloud provider in Western Sydney, and NextDC is their customer, and they have one in Artarmon. And hot off the press, Southern Cross Electrical announced that its Heyday recent acquisition in 2020, remember that one, one of their arms there, the electrical business and solutions, they've just received an award for a data centre and resource sector in New South Wales and Western Australia, respectively. That alone in those two states is $70 million in revenue. So tick, tick, tick on the rollout of the addressable market of electrification, they're really poised for success. And on the acquired strategic element and growth, they're exploring a range of acquisition targets as we know at the moment, offering both geographical and more diversifications, plus new capabilities to their suite of services. They're also in the tendering process right now for over $500 million of works to be awarded in the next 2 to 3 years for extensions of existing and new builds of more data centres to come out, which will lead to more contracted revenue streams, which also could open the door to further M&A targets, because they have lots of cash on the balance sheet. And overall, the business is targeting FY24 revenue over $500 million. They're circling around 460-ish at the moment, and stronger H2 profitability to match FY23 EBITDA.
Oh, over 500. That is music to my ears. So overall, you're really bullish on data centres.
Yeah, and I think that SXE, as the Aussie player, is best set, in my opinion, to capture the market upside and benefit from this AI revolution. It has been said, some bulls out there, that the AI revolution has really set the stage for the next 3-5 years bull market. So if that's the case, SEX is going to benefit because they're indispensable investments. Oh, not SEX, SXE.
God. I love it. You are good value, CB, on a Tuesday morning.
Oh my God. Sorry, dear listeners.
All right, back to Southern Cross. If you take away one thing, only one thing from this buy conviction, CB, what should it be?
Okay, all jokes aside, sorry about that. Look, for me, electrification and decarbonisation of the Australian economy and global economies, it's something that we all have to seriously put investment focus towards. It's not just good for your portfolio, but it's good for the globe. And I think that this business is really set to capture the opportunities across all of its operations. So they will make money helping us all go green. The street of our view, it does agree with my buy conviction here. They've got an average consensus view of $1.20. So it's about 20% upside from current market levels of about a dollar.
There you have it. SEX. No, I'm kidding. SXE for our order pad. That's a wrap.
Oh, dear.
Now, we've had a lot of listeners reach out to us for portfolio reviews, so it's so great. We love engaging with you all. A reminder, if you're still interested in reaching out, please email us, cftgroup@shoreandpartners.com.au. We'd love to hear from you on our social media channels. You can follow us on @TalkMoneyToMePodcast to keep up with daily market updates. We're also eventually going to look at doing a newsletter. But for now, tune into our podcast. Until next time.
Happy Easter. Stay tuned for more great investable ideas and market news. See you then.
You have been listening to an Equity Mates Media production. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. This podcast is intended for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general advice only and has not taken into account your personal financial circumstances, needs or objectives. Before acting on general advice, you should consider if it is relevant to your needs and read the relevant product disclosure statement. And if you're unsure, please speak to a financial professional. The hosts of this podcast and their guests may have positions in the companies mentioned. Equity Mates Media operates under an Australian Financial Services Licence 540697.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.